I invite you to take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in dark distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have increased the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice in dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood, will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And it will be called a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. As we come to these familiar verses, let's go to God in prayer first, shall we? Father, once again, we look to you. Lord, most of us heard this story of Christmas, Advent, over and over and over. But Lord, I pray that this morning that you will touch our hearts. Lord, that we will see something new that applies to us, that helps us to celebrate, help us in our walk as your children. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A prince wanted to find a maiden suitable to be his queen. One day, while running an errand in the local village for his father, he passed through a poor section. As he glanced out of the windows of the carriage, his eyes fell upon a beautiful peasant maiden. During the ensuing days, he often passed by the young lady and soon fell in love. But he had a problem. How would he seek her hand? He could order her to marry him. But even a prince wants his bride to marry him freely and voluntarily, and not through coercion. He could put on his most splendid uniform and drive up to her front door in a carriage drawn by 6 horses. But if he did this, he'd never be certain that the maiden loved him or simply overwhelmed with all the splendor. The prince came up with another solution. He would give up his kingly robe. He moved into the village, entering not with a crown, but in the garb of a peasant. He lived among the people, shared their interests, and talked their language. In time, the maiden grew to love him for who he was and because he had first loved her. This is the story of Advent. Our God coming down to us, to live with us, to win us, not by his power, but through his great love for each one of us. Today, as we've been reminded several times, it's the first Sunday of Advent. Advent begins a 4-week journey leading up to Christmas Day. Advent is a celebration of the coming of Christ, our Christ child. As Karen and Alden read earlier, today we remember the prophets who foretold the coming of this king, of Messiah, the Messiah. Today's scripture from Isaiah 9 is one of those describing the coming Messiah. In these verses, Isaiah wrote descriptive titles of the coming Messiah, then and now and on into eternity. As he wrote in verse 7 that we just read, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Isaiah's prophecy is actually a double prophecy concerning the Messiah. He described the child prophesied in Isaiah 7, verse 14, that says, to the Lord himself, he will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. This is the birth we celebrate on Christmas Day. But Isaiah 9 also described the Messiah who's coming in the future will establish his eternal kingdom here on earth, a kingdom prophesied in the book of Revelation. Throughout Scripture, we're told that Jesus is coming again. But this morning, I want to look at these descriptions from Isaiah 9 and see what they mean to us today, as well as into the future. Isaiah wrote that the Messiah, the coming child, will be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful, in the dictionary, is defined as the ability to excite wonder or admiration. Exciting surprise. Other synonyms are strange, astonishing, incomprehensible, marvelous, miraculous. If you think about it, the love that Jesus had for mankind was incomprehensible. His humility, his self-denial, his sorrows were admirable. His mighty works were astonishing. His death on the cross was surprising. And his resurrection and ascension were miraculous. Much of what Jesus did was incomprehensible, astonishing, and marvelous. Jesus Christ was and is truly wonderful. Counselor. Counselor emphasizes the wisdom of the Messiah. It tells us of one who determines a plan of action and carries it out, or one who gives guidance to others who then carry out the plan. It describes one who has great wisdom and has the qualifications to be a guide. Isaiah 9 was saying that Israel's only hope, mankind's only hope, was this wonderful counselor who plans, prepares, designs, and decrees for his children and his people would all be marvelous. As a wonderful counselor, the coming Son of David will carry out a royal program so that there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. Most leaders have advisors. President-elect Trump is choosing men and women whose only job is to counsel and advise him on plans of action. We all need a counselor at one time or another. We need the advice of family or friends, someone we respect, someone who understands us. Isaiah 44, verse 2 says, "This is what the Lord says, He who made you, who formed you in the womb, He will help you. Do not be afraid." Christians can always seek guidance from God. Jesus said in John 14, 26, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." James 1, 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Jesus has all the characteristics one looks for in a great counselor. Jesus is understanding. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." He is one who really cares. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5, 7, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." He's understanding, he's caring, he's completely trustworthy, he's wise. He has only your best in mind. He loves each one of us so much that he left heaven to live with us and to die for us. If you want to be successful, Jesus must be your number one advisor. He can see every possible outcome. He knows which choice is best every time. All you have to do is come to him and trust him. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." Isaiah's second title for the Messiah was Mighty God. Mighty emphasizes the power of the Messiah. The word mighty was often associated with warfare and warriors. It has to do with the strength and energy of a successful warrior. Calling the Messiah God is a prophecy emphasizing the divinity of Jesus Christ. Isaiah said that this Messiah was more than a god. He is the all-powerful God himself. Many people have an incorrect opinion of Jesus Christ. They view him simply as someone very meek and very mild, someone kind and gentle, someone who always turned the other cheek. When the soldiers beat him and made him carry his cross, he didn't resist. You know, and all these things are true. But Jesus didn't come just to be a martyr for a good cause. He came to be a victorious, mighty warrior. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, beginning verse 5. We read, "Your attitude should be the same of that as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, because of all that, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Romans 14:9 says, "For this very reason Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of death over the dead and the living." As the mighty God, the Messiah can and will lead his people to victory and will be worshipped by the entire world. God's enemies, our enemies, are Satan and death, the unseen powers of evil that influence and rule the individuals and the cultures of this world, including our American culture. Jesus the Christ is the mighty warrior, the mighty God who's defeated and conquered those powers through his work on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. 2 Timothy 1:10 says that our Savior, Christ Jesus, has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. But even though those powers have been defeated, they still cause us trouble. It's like they're unwilling to give up and admit their defeat. Paul again wrote about this in Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning verse 10. Talking about this warfare that we preached about several weeks ago when we worked through Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and if you've done everything to stand. Jesus Christ is our victorious King, who has already triumphed over evil powers of this world. Because of this, we can expect Jesus to lead us to victory in our personal struggles. As a mighty God, he'll deliver us safely from the wars we wage against the temptations that come our way. 1 John 5:4 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." Isaiah's third title for the Messiah was Everlasting Father. Everlasting means that Christ had no beginning and has no end. John wrote about that a little bit in his gospel. Turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1, begin verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word," another name for Jesus Christ. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the very beginning." Jesus is eternal. He's everlasting. When the world was created, the Word, that is Jesus Christ, was already there. Father tells of the Messiah's care for his people. It refers to Messiah's enduring, compassionate, fatherly care. In Matthew 9:36, we read, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." Later in Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you will kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you are not willing." Jesus is ready to give us the care, the protection that we need. All we have to do is to come to Him. He's ready to be our Jehovah Jireh, our provider forever. And finally, Isaiah wrote that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. A prince. A prince is a leader, a military commander, or a noble. And Jesus is all that and more. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Peace highlights the serenity of the Messiah. It's actually the Hebrew word shalom, which means the absence of strife. It means security and health, wholesomeness, resulting in unbroken relationships. It is a complete and total peace. Jesus came to bring peace to a broken relationship with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God and man walked together in the Garden of Eden. But sin entered the world and created a gap between man and God. Christ came to bridge that gap, to bring us peace with God. This peace is Christ's greatest gift, a completely unbroken relationship with God. What once was broken by sin and impossible to restore by mankind's efforts has been restored by Jesus Christ. On the cross in John 19, verse 30, Jesus cried, it is finished. Now, through Jesus' sacrifice, everyone who believes can have peace with God. And as Christians, we don't have to wait until we get to heaven to have the peace of God. In Luke 2, verse 14, the angel said to the shepherds on that very first Christmas Eve, glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Jesus provides peace on earth for those who come to him. He came to give us peace in the midst of the things, the troubles that we cannot control. John 14, verse 27, Jesus told his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This peace is available for every believer today. All one has to do is accept this gift of love and of peace. This Advent, as you look at the baby in the manger in the crèche scenes, remember that Jesus Christ is more than just a baby. He is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And if he is your Lord and your Savior, then you are a child of God. And as his child, all of this is available to you. Open your heart and listen to his counsel. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, and then walk with the power of God. And then as Romans 8:37 says, you'll be more than conquerors through him who loved you. Trust yourself to the everlasting Father. And as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 91, verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And finally, let the Prince of Peace fill your heart. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. These are some of the wonderful gifts from God. But it's up to you to accept them or not, beginning with eternal life. So choose wisely. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your love. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for all the gifts that you've given to us. Not just eternal life, but your counsel, your power, your care, your peace. Lord, may we take advantage of these things as we walk with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.